Dr. Bernanke gives us his economic diagnosis and options for treatment.
This Marketplace podcast is brought to you by Gazelle.com. Gazelle buys the used iPhones, iPads, Macs, smartphones, and other gadgets from your home or office, so you can upgrade to the latest versions of your favorite gadgets. Find out what your gadget is worth at Gazelle.com. Don't just sell it, Gazelle it.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The Federal Reserve is not taking any major new steps to help the economy at this time, but it will spring into action if there's another slowdown. That's the takeaway from the Fed's two-day meeting, which ended yesterday. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer joins us now live from Washington with more. Good morning.
Hey, Jeremy.
So, Nancy, a lot of people look to the Fed for guidance on how the economy is doing. What's the word on that front?
Pretty much steady as she goes, Jeremy. The Fed did tweak its economic forecast a little bit, accounting for lower unemployment and slightly higher inflation. The Fed now says the economy will grow by as much as 2.9% this year. The Fed lowered expectations for next year by a tenth of a percent, and it says inflation is still under control, so it's going to keep interest rates low through 2014.
So steady as she goes, but Nancy, what about some of the other measures the Fed is able to take to boost growth if it wants to? Any sense that there's going to be more stimulus?
Not immediately. The Fed really isn't doing anything right now. It's saving its powder for a real change in the economy. Karen Petru is a managing partner with Federal Financial Analytics, and she says actually doing nothing is a strategy in and of itself.
The Fed could overreact, and they're right to be careful. And that's certainly what Chairman Bernanke said, is we're not going to do more than we have, but if we have to, we will.
And, Jeremy, the Fed's options could include raising interest rates if inflation gets out of hand. The idea there is to slow down spending. Or if the economy is starting to lag a little bit, the Fed could buy government bonds to try to pump some money into the economy.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer in Washington. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Well, there's been a lot of buzz recently about another potential airline merger. U.S. Airways is trying to buy the bankrupt American Airlines. And as U.S. Airways makes its case for a takeover, it's making a lot of promises. But as Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith reports, sometimes promises like that are hard to keep.
A U.S. Airways-American Airlines merger would create the latest mega airline. U.S. Airways has said it would keep all current hubs intact, but aviation analyst Richard Abulafia is skeptical.
The whole point of merging airlines is to get rid of hubs and all the expense that they create.
When United and Continental merged 2 years ago, they put Cleveland on notice that its hub status was in jeopardy. The carrier has also cut back flights at other hubs.
More destinations. More comfort. Who's merging isn't nearly as exciting as what's emerging.
And what's emerging is a very different industry, says Abulafia.
It's clear we're heading towards an endgame here. We've got three merged carriers.
And fewer flights and higher fares. Ticket prices have already risen 10% this year. And less competition means it will be easier to pass high fuel prices and other costs onto passengers. Still, frequent flyers need not fear. Abulafia says the airlines will want to keep their loyal customers happy. In New York, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading this morning, up 0.8% in Hong Kong, but down 0.3% in Frankfurt. The German carmaker Volkswagen is reporting strong quarterly profits thanks to a 26% increase in sales last quarter. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 89 points to close at 13,090.
This Marketplace podcast is brought to you by Gazelle.com. Gazelle buys the used gadgets from your home or office, such as iPhones, iPads, iPods, Macs, or smartphones, so you can upgrade to the latest versions. At Gazelle.com, see what your used gadget is worth. Then mail it to Gazelle for free. Gazelle pays for the shipping, and you'll get paid fast. Gazelle helps you upgrade to the latest gadgets faster and gives you value for the used gadgets you replace. Find out what your used gadgets are worth at Gazelle.com. Don't just sell it, Gazelle it.
We'll get earnings this morning from PepsiCo, which, in addition to making Pepsi, also makes Quaker Oats and Frito-Lay. Analysts are expecting the company will be hurt by the rising cost of ingredients. So the push is on to be more sustainable and save resources wherever possible. Marketplace's Eve Tro takes us now to a Frito-Lay factory in Arizona that's trying to do just that.
Sun bakes the dusty desert outside Casa Grande, Arizona. Frito-Lay makes all kinds of chips here. Technical manager Ronaldo Luna says that takes hundreds of gallons of water per minute.
So most of the water we use is to clean the raw materials, especially potatoes. They're coming from the fields, covered in soil.
Before they're fried crisp, the spuds get washed, peeled, washed, sliced, washed again.
We used to send the water to the sea.
Dirty water down the drain, then more clean water for more washing. But now the factory filters and reuses most of its water.
Does that save money?
It saves money, but I think it's not the main intent.
The main incentive is to get this Frito-Lay plant as self-sufficient as possible.
Arizona is a place that will be challenged on water.
Al Halverson is Senior Director of Environmental Sustainability for PepsiCo.
It's not really directly challenged today. We looked at that as an opportunity to go try that technology and prove it before we need to actually roll it out.
Roll out water recycling in Texas or California, and you'll have water to wash your potatoes, even if the county's fighting a wildfire nearby. Kerry Krasinski is an environmental consultant at TrueCost. He says conserving public resources is even more important in poverty-stricken nations. It can come down to
a license to operate in countries where water is scarce. That's been a big problem for Pepsi in the past.
And water is just one of the resources Pepsi needs to manage. The Arizona Frito-Lay plant is now mostly solar-powered. Instead of natural gas, it's burning mountains of wood scrap in a biomass boiler. Joel McCower heads the media company GreenBiz. He says PepsiCo is learning as it goes.
There is no real institutional knowledge. This is really brand new territory.
But by getting one Frito-Lay plant to near zero waste, PepsiCo will see what's possible. I'm Eve Troe for Marketplace.
And finally to Sweden, where an invitation for a formal government dinner with top officials went out to the wrong person. Instead of sending the invitation to the former Deputy Prime Minister, Margareta Winberg, organizers sent an invitation to Margareta Winberg, the retired occupational therapy assistant. Well, that Winberg showed up and was allowed to stay at the dinner. She summed up the experience this way to the Swedish newspaper The Local, quote, "The food was nice and there were a lot of people talking and talking." In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Oscar Gomez was a Chicano student activist in the 90s, a radio DJ and a rising star.
He was fire. He was charisma incarnate. Everyone had a crush on him.
He was a voice of people who didn't have a voice.
Until his sudden and mysterious death. What happened to Oscar? Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.